This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Fun today, we're going to have on Doc Emmerich. And then Penn State redshirt freshman Jason Knopf from the wrestling team is going to join us. That's if Kevin approves.
All right.
So let's get to it before we get to Doc. He was one of the best play-by-play guys, period. We give you the play-by-play call of the day.
Hold on, it's not starting.
That's really great.
This is 2 days in a row I've had issues with this. All right, now it's working.
Rebound grab by Barnes. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. Barnes heaves at half court. Oh, he made it. He made it from 45 feet with a second remaining. You have got to be kidding me. Matt Barnes had plenty of time. The Grizzlies didn't take a timeout. And Matt Barnes has hit a half court shot to put the Grizzlies up by one. What in the world just happened?
They hit a shot from 45 feet. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I too simple on some of this stuff sometimes?
Sounded like me, actually.
Yeah, but you're good, though. And he's good. He did a great job in that. But you're good. You've got Milton tonight, 7:06.
Yeah.
For all of our friends listening in the Pacific time zone, it's a 4:06 airtime.
On WKOK.com, then.
Yes.
Yeah, it should be an interesting matchup. These two teams have a big history. It starts off the conference. Shikalimi had four guys in double figures in the win Tuesday night against Central Columbia at home. Played much better, shot the ball much better than they did Saturday night against Lewisburg. And they're really going to have to do that tonight. Milton, although they had a tough opener with Hazleton, can definitely score some points.
Well, that's coming up tonight, 7:06. And now, very pleased to bring in one of the truly outstanding play-by-play announcers of our era, Mike Emmerich. Doc Emmerich from NBC Sports. Mike, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Gosh, Steve, it's great talking to you, and I love talking about old facilities. And the Nittany Lions hockey team will be in another great old one. I think built in the 20s was Yost Fieldhouse, where the Wolverines play in Ann Arbor, play their hockey.
Absolutely. And then I just saw, in fact, when I was at Michigan State doing football a little more than a week ago, I saw Biggie Munn Arena out in the backside of the stadium there, too. So some great old places.
The one that you really missed, and you would have no way of knowing this in fairness, is that just outside Munn Arena is a place called Demonstration Hall.
Uh-huh.
And that was where the Spartans played before that. And to talk to some Spartan hockey athletes about that era, it ended in 1970 when they built Munn. There were no washroom facilities. There were no showers. So they had to dress in the field house where the basketball team played and walk in their sneakers across and carry their skates. If there was some time during the intermission that they had to use the washroom, they had to go in where the paying customers were and get in line. and do that. But it was it's now the ROTC building, but at that time it was where they played, and every seat was obstructed because they had pillars going from the front row up to hold the roof up. Yeah. And so every 8 to 10 feet there was a pillar, which meant every seat in the place was obstructed. Yeah. But it didn't stop them from having pretty good teams.
No, it did not. And they were dressed at Jenison Fieldhouse.
You're right. And there were actually guys that would get tossed out of the games and would hide in the bushes and wait to ambush the other guys. It's fascinating. But that's for another time. I'm sorry.
No, don't. We can talk about stuff like that all day long. For you along the way, I'll start with this. As someone who also then teaches sports broadcasting, a class here at Penn State, and I've done it for about 10 years here, if I were to bring you into the class, what would be a couple of things that right away you would say to that class?
Don't quit is number one.
Agreed.
Because there is a lot of, I have probably 100 snail mail letters telling me that the answer is no. And that was at a time when I was trying to break in. I finally got into this business in 1973, but back then there was no email or anything like that. You had to send a letter, and you usually got a letter in reply. And most times those letters came promptly because they were ground out in mass. And there were no openings, and you were told you had no experience and all of that. But you just keep plodding along, and I would sit in the corner of an arena and record games to myself and try to get better at it. And then I would send those tapes out, and they gradually got better. But I think number one is don't quit, because it's very easy to get discouraged with all the rejection. And number two is just keep working, because if your health is good, you often can outwork the competition. And I don't know what the competition was when I was trying to break in. I was just trying to make myself better. And so I did that by just doing more games to myself on a recorder and listening to them and trying to answer the question, where's the puck, who has it, and questions like that. So I guess those would be the two main things that I would walk into your class and say, and I hope I get the chance sometime.
I hope you do, too. Mike Breen came in and gave very much the same advice to them, and hopefully you will get that opportunity, because we'd love to have you.
Thank you.
The next part is, you know, you talked about the hunger part of it. Do you sense even today with that hunger that in a lot of ways, but in different ways with information available, that you work harder today because you always want to be at the top of your game?
Well, you have a feeling that you want to walk away from a game feeling like you gave it your best,
yes,
that you put in the time necessary. And in my mind, every sport is different, but we have morning skates the day of games. And in my mind, if I don't go to a morning skate, it's like walking into a final exam and not studying. Boy, you don't feel too comfortable. And so I think that preparation, which I think is fun, is a part of what helps to make you feel like that you have done a good job by the end of the day. Now, it is a performance business. And so some days your performance is going to be better than others, just like the goaltenders we're going to see here in Montreal tonight. This may be a great day for Tuukka Rask, or it may be an awful one.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
We know he's highly skilled, and he's won Olympic medals before, but we don't know how this day is going to be. And I don't know how my performance will be, but I'm hedging against having a bad one by preparing as best I can. And I think that's about all you can do. At the end of the day, it is a human endeavor, and you keep striving to reach the level that you are satisfied with, trusting that the public and your bosses are satisfied with it, too.
We see the ratings on NBC Sportsnet and also over-the-air NBC, and the ratings have been higher than ever across the board. What has allowed hockey in this country in particular see growth along the way, in your opinion?
The athletes are so good and are so giving, not just of their time, because that sounds like something that we always wind up saying at Christmas time when they go visit hospitals. No, this is called taking care of yourself and doing the right thing so that you can put on the good show every day. We see that especially at Winter Classic time. And if you happen to see the videos that were done last year of the Washington and Chicago game, in Washington, at the baseball park, and you saw the concerns about the sun, And Jonathan Toews skated out after the warm-up and said, we're good to play. And Sidney Crosby, during the course of the torrential downpour in Pittsburgh against Washington, when the referee went over and said, not too good, is it? He said, it's fine. We're going to play. They are our number one salespeople because they always are prepared to play, even though they may wind up playing three games in four nights and they may be very tired. You know that they're always going to deliver the show. And that's why somebody like Phil Jackson, who is so big into basketball, when asked one time after he had left coaching whether he was watching the NBA playoffs, said, no, I'm watching NHL. Because there's such a sacrifice in playing four games in 7 days in a best four out of seven and trying to make it work. I think that's what is the most engrossing thing about this sport to other people.
In order to be really good at something, I'm a firm believer you have to have a depth of passion for it. What is it about hockey that has allowed you to have a depth of passion for it that is expressed in every broadcast?
I don't know. I wish I could answer that. I know that I really love the sport, and I like so much about it. Here in Montreal, I came over an hour early just because I wanted to sit in Bell Center while it was quiet before the players went out on the ice, because this is about as close as a secular cathedral as you will get in sports here in Montreal.
Right.
There have been funerals here of Canadians players. There have been fans who have gone past coffins here as recently as a year ago when Jean Béliveau died. To be here and to have this special opportunity to be in this place, you don't want to take for granted. I'm 69. I hope I live longer, but God only knows. And so you want to make sure that you take advantage of every chance you have, especially to be in a place like this today. I've had a chance to tour your new arena at Penn State.
I was going
to
ask you about
that. And I just love it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I know a couple people told me, hey, you know, Doc was here to see it. What do you feel in the growth of hockey, having a Penn State and a Big Ten conference in that type of facility? What does that do for the growth?
Well, I think it just causes it to skyrocket, and I think it makes it a wonderful experience for the fans to go there and the fans at Michigan and Michigan State. Red Berenson told the story about when he was a student at Michigan. One year they handed him a ring, and Michigan hadn't had the greatest year. But he said, they gave us a ring, and I said, what's this for? And they said, that's for the Big Ten championship. Well, there were hardly any schools in the Big Ten, but Michigan was the best of the lot. And so the kids that played for Michigan got rings. Now the schools are really competitive and really good. And so for that reason, I think it's all the more a good move to have the Big Ten extend itself into hockey.
How often does Edzo mention Tommy to you or Penn State?
Off air, three times as much as on air, but he still gets in his shot on the air.
Hey, what'd you think of the Johnstown experience? Because, I mean, obviously, my broadcast partner for football, Jack Ham, obviously grew up in Johnstown, and I know it was a big deal to him. What did you think of that, bringing it to just a typical small town hockey venue, whether it's Johnstown or Port Huron?
Steve, I've got to say that this is, unfortunately, I've got another interview to do, and
I really want
to address this question, so here it is. Sadly, I have to do another one here, but I wanted to answer your question because it was one of the most joyous nights I've spent in an arena. You knew that that rink meant a lot to this town, that the town had off and on economically suffered, but that arena and their hockey team meant a lot to them. They got $150,000 to make improvements in it. But you realize there was a source of civic pride there, and you could see it on the faces of the people who came way early as soon as the gates opened to be in there and watch the nearby team from Pittsburgh play the Stanley Cup finals. The fact that three ex-Johnstown Chiefs or Jets or whatever they were there wearing their glasses, and the fact that taking a lot of pride, and he has said after, Evgeny Malkin said, I still have my glasses, you know. The NHL allowed them to go two line rushes with their special glasses on that night in the warm-up. It was a really wonderful occasion because it did bring the NHL to a grassroots level town that had a wonderful hockey history back half a century, and I was sure glad I got to be there.
And I apologize if we ran over at all. I want you to get to your next interview.
No, it's okay. It's just that nope. The time sometimes is a killer. And I'll hope to talk to you and maybe see that class if you want.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much. You're absolutely one of the best in the business, and we appreciate the time you gave us.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Take
Doc.
Care.
Doc Emmerich from NBC Sports. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State redshirt freshman Jason Nolf, who's off to a 9-0 start, is going to join us in the next half hour. Talk Nittany Lion wrestling. Cale Sanderson, I'll talk with him tomorrow on the show. They're in Rec Hall. They should be there in the Jordan Center Sunday at 1 with Wisconsin. A little role reversal with the basketball team playing two games in Rec Hall starting tonight. And the wrestling team in the Jordan Center Sunday at 1 to take on 15th-ranked Wisconsin. And so we will hear from Jason Nolf in the next half hour, and then Cale, we will have him on tomorrow. Fair enough?
Sounds great to me.
He probably is. Would you say he is one of the top two or three most requested guests on the show?
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
Am I supposed to still give all the information on your son to him?
Hey, you never know. I mean, there's always a chance.
Yeah, because I brought it up and he gave me an FBI file. I don't know what that means.
On me?
They're watching you.
I told you. Anybody from that coaching staff, especially Cale, calls on the phone, doesn't even need to show up at my house, just calls on the phone and says, hey, this is Cale Sanders. Yeah, he'll be right there. Where's the paperwork? I mean, he doesn't need to recruit. Just say, hey, this is paperwork. Just send it. Done. Signed. But we're not offering him anything. Doesn't matter.
Wow. I'll just leave it at that. Wow.
Doesn't matter. We're not going to be able to offer him a scholarship. That's fine. Can he at least wear the uniform? Sure, yeah. Okay, done.
Wow. Okay. I guess I look at things differently than you do. Is that the
way? Yeah, you do. You do. And you know what? I think there's a lot of wrestling parents that if Cale called them on the phone, it would not take a whole lot of. It wouldn't. You know, I'm not so sure if. Come on. No. If Cale or anybody on that staff calls and says, listen, we think your son might. That would be the end of the conversation. We think your son might. That's it. That's all you'd have to get out. Most parents would be like, papers, sign him, done. He's wrestling for you next year.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. That's awesome. Oh, goodness gracious.
There was a sighting a few years ago. Of
a sighting?
I'm not joking. I am not joking. There was a story going around that Cale Sanderson was in town to talk to someone. Now, I don't remember who it was. I have my thoughts on who it was, but I don't know if it's true. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about something that was discussed for 3 weeks straight in town. That was it. I don't know if he stopped at Dunkin' Donuts for coffee or what. But, or maybe it was a doppelganger. It didn't matter. That was the talk of the town for 3 straight weeks. That's how much pull this guy has in this state alone, let alone in the wrestling community in this in other states.
He has no ego at all. None. You'd never know that he's won everything on the planet. Zero. I genuinely like Cale Sanderson as Cale Sanderson the person.
Just always have. I know that bothers you.
No, that doesn't bother me a bit. I just, it's very funny, though. You talk about, I mean, Joe Paterno was the same way. I mean, and you spotted Joe Paterno, it was a story for 3 weeks. But, you know, there's not too many places in the country that would get excited over a wrestling coach except around here. Even if it wasn't him.
I'm sure in Iowa, Dan Gable, they would get excited about. Don't you think?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't think there's many.
Well, he'll be on the show tomorrow. How about that? Is that okay?
That's great.
Why don't you join me here in the studio?
Better yet, why don't you give him my phone number? The real one, not the one you always call.
Again, that's back to the FBI thing.
No. It's only stalking if I call him.
No, there have been papers filed. You have to stay within 1,000 yards.
I can do that. I'm okay with that.
Oh, please get me to the news. Somebody get me to the news. Bozo of the day afterward.
It's not me, right?
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozos of the day. Lehigh football. Six football players broke into a home. The break-in was tied to an earlier assault on one of the players' fraternities and the fraternity president. So these six guys decided to carry out retribution. Here's the problem. They targeted the wrong house. They admitted to punching holes in the walls, identified most of the other players who went to the house. And it turned out that they also urinated into the refrigerator. And there's also burglary, simple assault, criminal mischief charges, and so forth. They burst into the man's bedroom, punched him twice while he slept. They did it in the wrong house. Six Lehigh football players, plural, are bozos of the day. Yeah, I have the names of the six if you want them.
I recognized a few of them when I saw them.
Yeah. Not going to do it. You can look it up if you want. No need. I'm piling on. Bad enough, don't you think? Okay. Jason Nolf, redshirted last year, did really well. He's out to a 9-0 start this year. They only lost once last year, wrestling unattached. This year he's 9-0, and we welcome the 157-pounder to the show. Jason, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Just excited to get some fans excited for the duel.
Exactly. For you, getting back into competition this year, What have been some of the things on this level that you found out right away on this level as part of this process to get yourself to March?
At this level, I mean, it's a lot different than high school, obviously. It's a lot tougher to get in there and bang heads with the best guys in the country, and you have that in our workout room every day, so it's good. It'll be exciting to watch us wrestle, I think.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. What have you learned? You talk about wrestling in the wrestling room and the competition there. What are a couple of things along the way that you've learned? Because in there, let's face it, for the most part, the competition is comparable.
Right, yeah. When I'm wrestling in practice, it's tough to go a day and win every go that you go, because you have so many good guys in here. The coaches wrestle around, and you have NCAA All-Americans, NCAA champions, Olympic champions. So, yeah, it's tough, and it just makes you better every day. So that's good.
Is there a particular move that has been solid for you that has carried over from high school to now?
I wouldn't say a particular move, but my pace is what I'd like to be known for. Because, I don't really get as tired as a lot of guys I wrestled. So I just keep the pace up and keep scoring a lot of points, and hopefully people can look forward to watching me do that.
Now, we were talking before with Glenn Secundo, who played basketball here, and he played a dozen years in Europe, as a matter of fact. And he said, look, when you're out there playing, he said, it's like white noise to you. You can't hear anything. What's it like for you when you go out there? Is that the same experience for you?
It's a little the same, but I mean, if you get a good takedown or you score a big throw, you can definitely hear the crowd out behind your back. So it's pretty awesome and exciting. And if you need to hear the coaches, it's kind of like you can hear them speak to you only, but like people in the fans will be shouting. You can't really hear them, but you can hear the loud cheers from them.
I know it's not in Rec Hall this time, but. Just for reference, what's it like wrestling in Rec Hall when they are that close to you?
Oh, man, it was awesome. It was like one of the best experiences of my life. You just run out, and the fans are right on top of you, and I wouldn't want to be the guy that's wrestling me, so coming out.
Okay. Now, last year you had a chance to obviously see the Iowa dual meet. What was just the feeling watching and now the feeling knowing you'll participate in it?
Oh, man, I got the chills when I was watching that, especially when I remember Jimmy Goulbon got the last takedown and back points to win it. So I'm excited to get out there and run up onto the stage and compete. So it was just awesome.
You won three state championships along the way, but you won them at 103, then you jumped to 132, then 145. Now you're wrestling at 157. As you have put weight on, what have been some of the pluses in putting weight on that you think's made you a better wrestler along the way?
So when I was a lightweight, you could say. I wouldn't say I'm like a heavyweight yet, but when I was a lightweight, everybody seemed to be super fast and more in shape. So I think that's helped me as I grew. I stayed in shape and I stayed fast, and the guys at my weight, they're slower than they were. Like I would say, like a 125 pounder would be, but if you compare 157 to 125, you'd obviously say 125 pounder faster, and they're like more squirrely. So I think that I can keep the pace higher on 157 pounders, because even in practice, when I try to wrestle Jimmy Bulban or Nico, they're always all over the place, and it's hard to grab a hold of them. But I think it's a lot easier to grab a hold of the guys at my weight. So,
how much physically stronger are you now, Jason, as you've moved up in class? And how has it been needed to be physically stronger moving up in class?
Yeah, I never really lifted weights in high school. So, as when I started lifting, that's when I got a lot bigger. So, I definitely got a lot stronger since I've got to college, even over the past year. And, I never really thought that it would be like strength was that big of a deal. I thought that it was more speed and technique and whoever worked harder, but strength actually has helped me out a lot. You get the leg, you can pull it in a lot easier, and it helps a lot on top whenever you're trying to hold the guy down. Because then you can get the wrist, and they won't be able to get out from you then.
You also lettered a couple times in high school and cross country, and also when you're in track and field. Did the running part just keep you in shape for wrestling season for the most part?
Yeah. Cross country was more for the mental game, I think. I mean, I told myself that it was to keep me in shape, but when I would run, I wasn't that fast, but I would want to beat everybody. So it was more mental, because I would be dead tired, but I would still run as hard as I can, and sometimes win, sometimes wasn't fast enough, you know?
Yeah, sure. No, I completely understand that. you want to major in what, kinesiology?
Yes.
Okay. You won in high school. I think you were a 4.5 GPA in high school, if I recall correctly. And you won the physics award. What has always attracted you to math, physics, science, and why kinesiology?
Well, I'm a pretty simple guy.
Well, good. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. I don't like trying to analyze too many things, and I think that math, physics, you get a direct answer. So I like that part of it because it's methodical and less like theory. So I like that part of it. And kinesiology I'm attracted to because I want to be some kind of doctor. So
okay.
I like helping people out. I like, I like cracking people's backs. I just like the human body. So that's what attracted me to kinesiology.
So would be a doctor, or would you consider being an athletic trainer, Jason?
Not so much an athletic trainer.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you like to go the Jimmy Martin route?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Fair enough on that. When you get ready for, you have Wisconsin coming up on Sunday. How much tape do you watch of an opponent? And when you do watch it, what are you watching for?
I don't really watch too much tape unless I've never seen the guy wrestle before at all.
Okay.
I'll watch like one match. And I just watch kind of how they go about the match, like if they get tired or not, and then the coaches help me out with the rest. They'll tell you like what leg the guy leads. So the guy reads his right leg, he's gonna be shooting with his right hand most likely. So that teaches me that I need to keep my left hand down. So like there's specifics that the coaches will tell you. They'll watch more than I will probably, but yeah, that's about all I watch.
Obviously, you're a state champion. You grew up, Yatesboro, and then you went to Katanning.
Yep.
What did it mean to you when Penn State knocked on the door and said, you know what, we think you can be an important part of our program?
Oh, it was a really big honor. I've always liked watching David Taylor wrestle, and he was like one of my idols growing up, so I was excited to get in the room with him and work on some of my ankle picks and on the top game. So I was excited to be part of a national championship team.
Cale Sanderson also likes an exciting go-for-it style of wrestling. Penn State is probably the single most entertaining school in the country to watch wrestle. How much does that fit your personality?
I think that's the way I wrestle. I like to go for the points, and if I get taken down, it's not that big of a deal to me. I think my semifinal match at the Nittany Line Open, I got taken down twice, but you know my thought process is I just got to score more points than this guy, obviously. So I think I ended up winning 27-14, but I mean the guy wasn't a bad wrestler. He took me down twice, but I got him more times. So that was good.
In the end, that's it. It'll be 1 o'clock on Sunday with Wisconsin at the Jordan Center. Should be a great crowd on hand. Jason, thanks so much for the time you gave us today. I enjoyed this very much, and hopefully this will be the first of many times we have you on the show.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Jason Knopf. He's going to be a really, really good one. Three-time state champ and off to a 9-0 start in his redshirt freshman season. Cale Sanderson tomorrow as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. It's the Kevin Herr Clam Bake.
That's what we refer to it as now.
You okay?
I'm great.
Well, don't go out and brag. Come on. I mean, it's, you know. Come on.
You excited about tonight?
I'm always excited to go to a basketball game. There's nothing better.
Well, a football game is equally as exciting to me, but you get the idea.
Oh, now we're trying to suck up to all the constituencies. Well done.
Just trying to cover it all. And
no, I get asked all the time, what's your favorite? What is in front of me at the time?
Well, people ask me, what's my favorite? I'll say, what's my favorite to call or what's my favorite sport? They'll say, what's your favorite to call? I said, and I use the answer that you do, whatever's in front of me that night. That's what I love doing. What's my favorite sport? My favorite sport by far is football. It used to be baseball, but now it's football.
What turned you away from baseball? The Phillies?
Yeah. No, you know what turned me away from baseball was 93. I'm sorry, 94.
Strike.
Yeah, 94 of the strike. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I was so angry with baseball at that point that I don't think I watched a game the following year, and I didn't feel like I was missing out on anything.
I got season tickets. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like I was missing out on anything.
I thought there were lots of seats available, so I went.
I was so upset because they took away the playoffs and World Series. I felt like, as a fan, I was robbed of those games. And that's why I never made it back from that.
A lot of people feel that way. Feel the same way you do. They felt that at that point that greed had set in so much on both sides that they didn't want to be a part of it anymore. Well, I completely understand that. I mean, who wouldn't understand that? And I think that that's what turned a lot of people and said, you know what, I've had enough of this. You know, it's one thing to have labor go head-to-head, and labor happens to be sanitation workers who have to pick up and have to throw cans of garbage into the back of the truck day after day after
real
day
labor
after day.
Jobs.
Okay, that's labor. As opposed to millionaires striking against billionaires or billionaires locking out millionaires. People cannot relate to that. And where they really struggle as sports entities is that they get so wrapped up in themselves, they don't understand that the common guy cannot relate to either side. That's why there are never any winners in this. It's always losers. Every time, it's a loser. All the time. Do fans want to come back, get back in the swing of things? We had Doc Emmerich today. You know, the NHL went through a lockout a couple of years ago. The NBA is headed toward, I don't know what the NBA is headed toward. Michelle Roberts, who is the head of the NBA Players Association, has already made a bunch of statements about what's going on. Just let it play out. See what happens. But there's so much TV money now to be split in the NBA. They've never had this much TV money to split before, ever. $2.6 billion? Really? I mean, that's heavy, heavy paper. And that's what they'll be talking about. And there isn't a single person in this country that can relate to that. They can't relate to be sitting in the catbird seat of being an owner and saying, I'm sorry, we can't play. And they can't fathom a player making millions and sometimes, and in some cases, tens of millions of dollars saying, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I'm walking out.
Baseball almost got me back with Cal Ripken. Actually, that was the first game I remember watching beginning to end, was the Cal Ripken record-breaking game. I remember watching that one beginning to end after the strike years. And then I started to come back briefly for McGuire and Sosa for the home run battle. And then when I found out about the steroid thing, it was gone. That was like the, if you'll pardon the pun, the third strike for me. I was done.
But what about 2008?
Well, when the Phillies actually won something? Honestly, I watched a few games, but I did not watch like I used to when I was younger.
What about the postseason?
I watched a few, but there'd be
a game you'd miss because of, you know, maybe a conflict with football, but.
No, actually, for years, I would see almost every playoff game the Phillies were in because it just didn't happen that often. But even that year, I saw every World Series game, and I think I missed a couple of NLCS games, and I didn't even worry about it until the NLCS, quite honestly. I mean, I was literally at that point, and you know what the biggest problem was? It was football season.
I feel like a psychiatrist who's not getting hourly rates.
I'm not going to pay you. Usually you feel relieved after you go to a psychiatrist. That's why you pay them. I feel more frustrated.
How were you treated by your mother?
What does this ink blot look like to you? Looks like the Phillies bullpen. It's a mess.
On that note, I think that's a good way to end it.